It seems that someone has been pulling Dr. Madeling's plonker. And that's not only dangerous, an awkward thing to do in public, but it's a downright dangerous thing to do to a man wearing a spacesuit on a planet with no atmosphere. Bring the FTM Isfahan, they said. Have some laughs, explore an Earth-like world, they said. So good old Eris, I've just noticed that sore backwards. That explains a lot. Took his fleet carrier and started exploring this Earth-like. Hang on, I hear you say, and I would do if that's how radio worked. Surely we can't land in Earth-likes at the moment. Something to do with glide mode being just a made-up name, and there's no way those silly wings in the Type 9 would work in a planet with a decent amount of atmosphere. And yeah, what about Thunderbird 2? It had wires to keep it in the air, for goodness sake. Well, this is where it gets interesting. In a sort of reverse Capricorn 1 situation, Dr. Madeling's passengers kept insisting that they had landed on an Earth-like. It just look at the grass, they said. Saying the reason for keeping your spacesuit on was because of the smell, since farmers had just finished muck spreading on those huge fields you can see, stretching out as far as the horizon in every direction. Eager to discover what bounties lay in store, and really a man with several degrees in particle physics should be able to tell when he's being conned, even through the visor of a spacesuit, Eris was last seen striding out saying he'll be back as soon as he's been to the shops and top up with milk, baby wipes, well, those suits can really chafe after a while, and something for tea. Concerns were raised when his figure stark against the dying light of however many suns this world has, was seen to remove his helmet to wipe his brow and then immediately disappeared behind the hill, just like a plane does in a movie before it explodes. We're sure that he's okay though, and if there was a problem, we're sure that he'd have found an old probe from when the planet was mapped and used it to show us he's in trouble. So meanwhile, put the kettle on, we're just waiting for that milk.
Cast your minds back. Back to the GIMP run of 3303. That's the Galactic Intrepid Mug Proliferation Project, where many of us took mugs to all of the important parts of the galaxy and took a selfie in front of Sajay's star with a container of mugs slowly spinning towards the black hole. Well, Commander Jennix, in what seems to be an homage to that mighty voyage, has been throwing mugs away. In a good cause, of course. He sent one container to follow its forebears, no, not like Goldilocks, as a veritable poke in the god-sized eye that is the gravity lens at the centre of the galaxy, but has followed it with another mug overboard at the bottom of the galaxy. If a galaxy can be said to have a top, bottom, left or right, look, let's just say that in the way it's normally displayed, for those of us always approach other ships in the same orientation or turn the map as we follow a route, or just prefer to think of it as imposing some order on a random, unchaotic universe, it's due south. As far as you can go before you reach the intergalactic void lies Livingston Point. More prosaically known as Hipui Ecu Psi SD30. Here, Jennix created his space jetsam and sent the mugs onwards where no frameshift drive energies will warm their contents, no trucker will gaze wistfully at their simple yet elegant design, and no drinker of Hutton Blend coffee will be able to complete the best pairing of hot stuff and a shapely container since Aisling Duval won the last, insert personal pronoun here, galaxy competition. The mugs will continue their journey alone, but not unloved, tumbling forever. Or until the container's integrity fails, which should be about 5 minutes. Oh well.
Commander Veronica has found a planet that has to be everyone's vacation dream spot. Imagine a planet where you really don't need to worry if people think you're lazy if you just lie there, and no one is going to come along and put a towel on the sun loungers in the early morning. You'll just lie there. Because with a surface gravity of 45G, yes, that's right, 40 stonking five times the gravity on Earth, it'll be amazing if you can draw breath, let alone move. You wouldn't need to worry about sun lounger procedures because A, what did I just say about being able to move? And B, even if you could, the planet has an average temperature of 3700 Kelvin. And that's hot enough to melt the steel frame in an instant and make the fabric go up with a whoosh, like magician's flash paper. You wouldn't need to blow up rocks to find minerals. just use a cup. Assuming you can find one that doesn't melt, that is. The planetary database notes that the planet is not terraformable. This we have filed in the same drawer as the response that Dr. Watson would give if his detective companion asked if he was still suffering from constipation. So, what can you do on this planet? KDI-17011, count yourself flaming lucky if you manage to land in one piece, that's what. No point in trying to step foot outside your ship, did I mention the gravity? And do make sure your ship is in good condition before attempting to land, as a drop from any height will make your shields flare brightly, the hull integrity percentage fall quicker than a cryptocurrency on an unfounded rumor, and your sphincter tighten fast enough to make a noise that can be heard half a mile away. We understand that Shay Blackwood was heard to say, "Hold my beer," before checking that the tires were correctly inflated on his racing SRV as he disappeared in the direction of the inner Orion Spur. The Speedbowl merchants have already managed to try at least part of their usual technique, that of head towards a planet as fast as possible, but they seem to have stopped short of the bit that goes, "and miss." Still, with all that gravity, the debris should all be in one small flat pile. Several pilots have managed to land in one piece. It seems inching down slowly using FA off for short bursts is a good technique. They've reported so far that, that far from being completely squashed in a little puddle in the boots of their flight suit, they've managed to stay conscious and move around their SRV unexpectedly freely. Speculation is rife that this 45G is not a natural phenomenon, and that a mad scientist, let's give him a random nom de guerre of Dav, might actually have hollowed out the planet and is experimenting with some kind of artificial gravity ray, thus making your ship think that there's 45G as it descends and obviously ruining the calibration of the meter. But that the natural gravity of the planet is closer to 10G. Still high enough gravity to greatly increase poundage, which explains the 5-year waiting list for your local branch of Weight Watchers. We'll bring you more news on this mystery as it unfolds. Slowly.
Commander Boss Lady, known to many as Boss Lady B, friend of Hutton. After all, one of her systems is the location of Trucker's Folly, the retirement home for old and knackered truckers. Anyway, Boss Lady B is no stranger to the odd planetary landing and was witness to a very strange attempt by her ship's AI to come and collect her. The emphasis here is on artificial, not intelligence. Now, it's well known that everyone loves Commander Boss Lady, and this was amply demonstrated as, whilst minding her own business, B, as we like to call her, was just waiting patiently in her SRV, expecting a routine touchdown and swift departure from the surface of the snappily entitled CIFA QD-S D4-9A5D. In front of a large flat area when her ship decided to go all new puppy on her, rolling around the floor, jumping up, doing backflips, really a sight to behold, and it's quite funny to watch, as it always is if it's someone else's ship. We see from the footage that B tried desperately to do something with her lovesick craft. She obviously knew it would break its heart if she dismissed it, so instead she appears to have tried to do the equivalent of a there, who's a good boy, Pat, by doing something unfathomable with her energy link, pointing at the ship as if to say, "I've got a treat for you." Anyway, all to no avail, her ship, getting more and more overexcited, did the full Mr. Creosote and exploded all over the landscape, leaving the Boss Lady all alone on the surface of an alien planet, with nothing but a faintly whiffy Artemis suit, the memory of a faint cry of tortured metal, and a feeling of slight embarrassment, mostly from waving an energy link around to no effect. as Boss Lady stared up at the faint glint of starlight reflected from her fleet carrier as it orbited so far above that it might as well be in the next galaxy, Commander Sidewinder 40 gallantly came to the rescue, and our heroine has returned to her fleet carrier, from where she immediately sent an insurance claim to the Pilots Federation because, well, it wasn't her fault.
It's been a lean time recently for commanders who are adventurous pioneers and like to stretch the boundaries of intrepidness by turning up at a site and just snaffling whatever's lying around. Yes, pilots have been complaining that the abandoned station, Dav's Hope, has been, well, abandoned. It seems that the material fairies that spend all their time gathering stuff and then storing it at Dav's Hope, presumably so that they can do something useful with it later on, seem to have got disheartened by finding that their hard work was all for naught, as her hard-earned materials just seemed to vanish, with nothing but a rapidly fading high-wake signature. Pilots have been up in arms, claiming that free stuff is their basic human right and that it's completely unfair and that they should have to go to more than one place for materials. Don't you know how busy they are? Well, they're in luck. Looking at the work schedule for upcoming changes by the Pilots Federation, a new entry at number 13. Let's hope they're not Triskaidephobics. Means that presumably a deal has been struck with so-called collectors to make it worth their while to return to their thankless task. So, next time you're ransacking the fundament of Dav's Hope, just spare a thought for the army of invisible helpers that have made your stroll through the materials larder possible, and do make sure you tidy up after yourself.
Now, dear viewer and listener, we have an article that's been written in dialect. We have removed the Yorkshire accent because of our lack of vocal talent, but please enable subtitles if you find this hard to follow. It's a message from Commander Rampage, and it goes something like this. On Saturday night, a few of us Hutton truckers got together in San 2 for a bit of on-the-ground pew-pew-PWP. My favourite chippy was in danger of changing hands, and we can't be avin' that. So, shin-kicking it was. Commander Christoph the Kangaroo Hanky was there leaping about. We had a great job of leaping from building to building, swatting the opposition, while Commanders Lithobreaker, Aiden the Original Bastard, and me held the line and took the objectives. I'm pleased to say that my favourite chippy is still in safe hands thanks to these brave commanders. Unfortunately, while leaving the combat zone, we had a bit of an incident. Commander the Original Bastard forgot to engage his safety and blew Commander Aiden to bits on the way to his ship. I've heard Nurse Wyeth is putting him back together for even better than before. I mean, you always have a few bits left over after a bit of DIY, right?
The Oracle, that is the main central Hutton System State's master control panel, remains a sea of calming blue, with one small orange exception. The water filters at Yamazaki Landing in Y08555-0714 are provingly reliably unreliable as usual. Honestly, I don't know why they bother. It looks and tastes the same whether they've filtered it or not. Sort of a pale brown with a plasticky, slightly antiseptic, almost metallic taste. Perhaps they can't get supplies of ferric sulfate due to the hauler shortage. However, there is a fleet carrier on station at Yamazaki full of them. All you have to do is ship them and sell them at a daft profit. Anyway, all the other systems are looking good, with everyone either happy or elated. I don't know, perhaps some folks are just easily pleased. Three systems are below 40%. Epsilon Indy had a brief pirate incursion during the week, undoing weeks of steady growth and putting it a gnat's crotchet below 40. Trepin on 36 has minor factions in both elections and the Civil War. And you all know the other one. On 34, of course, it's Barnard's basket case. the ending of the minor faction squabbling in Narnia saw Hutton put on an impressive 20 points in the week, lifting the system up to 50 and out of the doldrums. The other system to suffer a bit of piracy during the week was Wolf 124, but this passed more or less unnoticed. At the top end of the systems league, we only have four systems above 60, but two of these are above 70. Too high, folks, too high. Meanwhile, in Colonia, the High Priest of Hotcull himself, Lord Duke Hanky, asked that truckers help relieve the outbreak in Pythias by shipping in meds. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, boost Hutton, influence in Barnard Star and Trepin. If you want to shoot something, find the bloke who keeps selling those dodgy water purifiers. Dead or alive? In fact, dead is probably easier.
Coverage now of events organised by community members for the community, which is us. As usual, links will be posted in Twitch chat and also in the description of your YouTube of our YouTube upload. I'd hate to see the paint job on the fleet carrier console as it continues the long, long journey to all 124 waypoints of the Cannon Challenge, and I bet the toilets are in a shocking state. Completely blasé about the condition of his carrier, Commander Mephisto has found time in his day, no doubt filled with massages and seven-course tasting menus, to bring us this update.
And the comfy cannon cruise at waypoints 69 through 72. Squid mollusks of the Rosium, Punisium, Albulum and Caerulium variety could be added to Commander's codices. Poor Commander G-Man 14 mined a bit too much at the last mining spot and so got mesmerised by spinning rocks. He woke up nearly a week later with the cruise at a ready resumed course. Probably a few mugs of Centauri Megagen and Lavian Brandy might have been involved, but that's pure conjecture. As his cutter wasn't outfitted for jump range and Khonsu was already thousands of light years away, he spent the 35 million credits rebuy cost and a few tons of already collected precious tritium for his Remlock ride back on board. Upcoming are days of jumping, making way to Beagle Point with only two waypoints lying in between.
The SWS High G Summer Slamdown 3307 expedition has landed for the last time, and its participants are probably grateful for the last minute discovery of a certain KOI 17011 to continue their thrill seeking after their long range high gravity body landing tour. Commander Richard Vlouanis, M, has sent us this farewell message.
The expedition has ended. Unfortunately, we didn't lose any more planets from our list, as I managed to enjoy the rest. However, on our last expedition day, a new challenge arrived. A 45G planet that we theorised was the amalgamation of the four planets we'd lost made into one. Luckily, we all got the memo early and a force of six of us went to have a look. Now the destination has the names and first football of the High Gravity Summer Slam Expedition. After that, we did other small activities like a high G race that EFTA not long ago did on stream, and with that we concluded the expedition. Prizes and money will be given by the end of the week, and based on the photographic contributions, we will probably start updating the map with new IG planets. Thank you all for coming on the expedition, and remember to meet us in the black next time.
The Wild West has now left Colonia a long way behind, and as these space cowboys press on into the black, Commander Analog Kid has sent these echoes from the void. This week saw us arrive at the Planet of Death system, 600 light years from Colonia, With good timing of the planet's orbit, we gathered on the surface to patiently wait for the planet of death to pass within the exclusion zone of the white dwarf, making for some epic screenshots and memories. With fleet carrier support, the event was a little less nerve-wracking for all. As a side excursion, also with fleet carrier support, many of our intrepid commanders went to the 11G planet system, Lithobreaker, to test their mettle at landing on the planet with the highest gravity at the time, and many of us did this with great success. As we progress to Waypoint 3 this week, and further away from civilization, we are already beginning to enter large areas of uncharted space. Exciting times lie ahead, with new discoveries abound and, of course, lots of shenanigans amongst our friendly fleet. And lastly this week, and not just because this was hand-delivered by Canon's lackey Paulo Rodriguez, though mostly because of that, it has to be admitted. I've got this note which looks like a cross between a ransom note made from newspapers and a drawing by your kid that's not even good enough for your fridge. But still, we do say we'll include news from anyone.
In the inner Orion Spur, about 300 light-years from Sol, Tucanae Sector AF-A-D714E is a 1,000-kilometre radius rocky body with a thin carbon dioxide atmosphere that supports 9 different life forms. Worth a modest 2,093,600 credits at Vista Genomics. Canon Interstellar are running a competition to scan all 9 species in as short a time as possible. They are offering some used laboratory gear and a worthless coin as prizes. Actually, the prizes are made of real metal and have some scrap value. The fastest time recorded on their website so far is LCU No Fool Like One at 5,338 seconds, but he assures us that he could do it much faster if he didn't have to stop for a poo. Make sure you carefully read the rules before attempting the task, as Canon are bound to weasel out of paying up if you don't follow it to the letter. The competition closes at midnight on the 31st of December.
And that's this week's roundup of community-led events. If you want yours to be featured, just email itookpart@huttonorbital.com and we'll get in touch.
And that was the news. Coming up is the banter section. But don't go away, as after our inane chatter, we have brand new Gownet News Digest. Flossie tells us what's happening in the land of CGs. And the apology officer confuses us with the Hutton Sports Report.
It's perfectly clear.
And we have a special music video for the end of the show. When you've had time to digest whatever your last meal was. Trust me, you'll thank us. But first, we talk.